5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you on yet another Croc podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. We are in the flesh today, buddy.
I was going to say, you did not say...
On the other side of the glass.
On the other side of the glass. But,
yeah.
But you're on the other side of this. Describe what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, so Croc Nation, your esteemed leader is very conscientious of not getting anyone sick. I have a COVID-negative summer cold, and I am dressed with a mask and with another transparent plastic piece over my head. That's why you probably won't hear me that well. But that's okay, because today is not my day to talk. We have probably, Angel, one of my favorite people in this entire medical system. We have Aradhana Pal, who's going to be joining us today, talking a little bit about nutrition.
I'm excited about it. First time I got to meet her in person. I only know her by extension and by name, so it's a win-win for me, too.
So this is the part where I really embarrass the guest, because I want to just tell you something. We call her Pal, and it really is such a perfect name, because she is everyone's pal. She is, when I say 100% devoted to her patients, I don't even think that that's even possible, because she's 150, 170, 190, 300 trillion times for her patients. She takes it very seriously, her work and her work with cancer survivors, and that's why I really wanted to have her here today, Angel.
I'm excited. Let's go. Let's not make these people wait any longer.
Well, let me ask you a question. So it's without further ado, as they say, right?
Yeah.
So you and I have been on both your podcast and my podcast talking about our past and our struggles with weight, right?
Yes.
So our weights are up and down, and we go on all these fad diets and all these things. And, you know, there were times, last week we had Jim Quinn, a strength coach. And Jim looks the part, right? Mm-hmm. He's probably got 2% body fat. He looks amazing. And the first time I went over to Jim's gym, you know, I did everything he told me. I lifted all the weights he told me to lift. I did everything possible. And yet there were no changes. I looked exactly the same. I was a little stronger, but I didn't look any different. I didn't look like Jim, that's for sure. And he took me aside and he said, you know, Tom, he said, you're doing something which is extraordinarily common. Most everyone does this. Everyone thinks that they, when they start a fitness program, all they have to do is run an extra mile or hike that extra, you know, 2 miles, or do that extra, you know, bike ride or whatever, and then they can go and they can eat Burger King and they can eat Taco Bell and everything will be great and they're going to look like a triathlete. And the truth of the matter is that, as important as fitness is, after all, this is our fitness module. This is not a nutrition module. We will have a nutrition module, but this is not it. This is just a basic introduction to what I call the battle of the fork and knife. So basically, fork is good, knife is bad, right? And Aradhana, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Iannelli. You're a kind person. I see you as very dedicated to your patients, and that makes me have a lot of satisfaction in working in this department, because I see you and your entire team very committed to patient care. And since you brought up the topic of weight management, it is very important in our patient population who've successfully done all the aspects of treatment and have come out with flying colors and are ready to have a healthy life, hopefully ahead of them. So the weight is, weight management is a very important criteria, and I will be referring to the guidelines set by the American Institute of Cancer Research, and they have based their recommendations upon, you know, upon data that they have collected on people. And they do recommend maintenance of a healthy weight after treatment as one of the criteria for a healthy life ahead. And yes, I have found, Dr. Iannelli, because weight management is a problem for all of us, for most of us, I should say. So I found that you know, making my life such that I'm forced to eating healthy works better for me than trying to make healthy choices. To give you an example, if I may admit, my most favorite foods in this world are ice cream and potato chips.
Ah!
But I can dare say I've not bought them in the longest time that I remember and brought them in the house.
Yeah.
So if I'm dying for it, when I go to the gas station and fill up my car, I can go inside, quick check or whatever I'm getting, and get a single serving or whatever I want.
Yes.
But having it in the house is downfall for me. That seems to call out my name. I mean, if it's a half a gallon of ice cream, that gets finished. If it's a big bag of potato chips, that can get finished. So I don't risk it.
Yeah, so that's actually very deep stuff. Let's talk about that for a second. So cancer survivors, our dear Croc Nation, you've just gotten done with your surgery, your radiation, your chemotherapy. You got your first set of scans. You're cancer-free. You're well into your survivorship, and you still feel weak. You still feel tired. You might be a little bit anemic, but you're now saying it's time to claim my life back. Angel and I have had a few episodes talking about exercise in general, talking about high-intensity training, which we'll talk about some more. Talked about some resistance training and strength training, and now we're talking about the knife and fork. So you go out and you say to yourself, okay, I realize that no matter how much exercise I do, I need to also couple it with my nutritional program. And what Pal just gave you was advice on what I call situational life events. So she's setting up success by planning ahead, by not bringing those treats into her home. She doesn't deny herself those treats. She just limits those treats into very small quantities and doesn't expose her home environment to the potential of a binge or a day where she might eat more than she wants to or should. Does that sound right?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Yes, that's exactly. So keeping healthy foods around, preparing foods in advance and keeping them in the freezer in single portions, having fruits and vegetables around, yogurt, dairy around, is, I think that really helps us eat better by default.
So here's a problem. So of many people, not just our cancer survivors, just people in general, think they're making the right choices, but they're not. So you said something really important. So I'll tell you another funny story. I told you this while we were preparing for the podcast. My daughter Katie was working with us one day, working here. And, of course, she's my gopher, right? Gopher here, gopher there. And she said, Dad, okay, I'm going to go pick up lunch. And I had been on maybe a two-week period where I wasn't really feeling good. I was eating crappy. And I said, Katie, let's do some salads for lunch. So she says, no problem. There's a Panera down the street. She goes to Panera, she gets me the Asian chicken salad, and she gets herself whatever salad. She gets the Cobb salad or whatever. And we eat our salads, and we're saying, boy, this is great. I could eat healthy like this every day. We went to the website, to Panera website, and the salads had more calories than the hamburgers. And the other thing that I think is really funny, again, another anecdote, talking to Coach, you know, he started having me do a food diary, which we're going to talk about in a second. And, you know, he kept on saying, Tom, you're not losing any weight. What's going on? I handed him the food diary. He said, what did you have for lunch? I had a sandwich. He goes, great. Did you have like a plain turkey breast sandwich on a piece of whole wheat bread with maybe a piece of lettuce and maybe some little bit of mustard and then one slice of low-fat cheese? I go, no, I had a pastrami sandwich. Well, I had a sandwich. I had one sandwich. He goes, man, you're not getting it. So let's talk about what exactly is healthy. The misconception, and it's not our fault, Aradhana. What happens is the marketing of the Boston markets and the Panera's and the fast foods, and you go in and you want your chips, and they'll say one-third the sodium, and you think you're being healthy by doing that.
Yeah.
I think that we're sabotaging ourselves without even knowing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're talking about individualization, Dr. Iannelli, I do recommend following up with a registered dietitian wherever, you know, in whatever facility we go for treatment. Usually people are more conscientious and they have an RD on board. So for that, I would say follow up with the dietitian, because then, you know, they can give you examples of what a low controlled carb meal is, because we do know excessive carb intake can lead to rapid weight gain. Not just the sandwiches, even the beverages that come with that. I mean, just the. Are you familiar with the documentary Super Size Me?
Yes. Where that guy ate only McDonald's for whatever.
Yeah. And the physician had to get him off that. He was doing a study on himself, and he had gained so much weight, and his lipid profile was so off, and they said, no, not anymore. That's it. You can't continue this. I think he. I can't tell you exact, but maybe around 25 pounds, some ridiculous amount
ridiculous,
of weight gain.
Yes.
Yeah. So the being aware of how many carbs we're consuming, because if we were doing marathons regularly, and if I was digging dirt every day or working in a farm, or you know, maybe I was justified to have those amount of calories. But if I'm sitting in an air-conditioned office and just playing with my, you know, doing work and talking to patients, I don't need that kind of calories.
Awesome.
So yes, controlling them. And there are, the good thing is now we have apps that help us too. There is an app called MyFitnessPal. There is one called Carb Manager. So that helps track the carbs for us. And it is ridiculous the amount of carbs that
Let's actually dive into that a little bit. So the food groups, just for our listeners, we're going to actually, you know, I even do this with my patients. I go right to ground zero. I start from zero and build up from there. So when people eat foods, there's categories, right? There's fatties, you know, the fats. There's mm-hmm. the carbohydrates. There's the proteins, I'm thinking. And then there's the fruits and vegetables. I guess that's separate. Carbohydrates are pretty much anything that either are inert, you know, just inherently sugar, or get broken down quickly into sugar. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that would include all of your candies, your sodas, your juices. Pretty much everything breaks down to sugar, but I guess it depends on how far away you are from the quickness of that breakdown. And I think they call that the glycemic index.
Yeah.
So carbs are pretty much not just potatoes and bread. They could be, they're pretty much anything.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're talking about the simple carbohydrates, the simple sugars, which is an addition of sugars, two beverages, a can of soda having roughly around 8 to 10 spoons of sugar, for instance. And if you think about, I mean, just saying 8 to 10, but actually thinking about, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, 10 spoons of sugar, that's a large amount. Now, on the other hand, for instance, a slice of bread is around 15 grams of carbs. So having not, I don't recommend cutting out the carbs, but a healthy, you know, intake of carbs. But also fruits also contain carbs, so does dairy. But a judicious, I mean, a regulated amount is okay. It's just the unnecessary that we consume. So not trying to make a better choice and not having a soda versus water, but rather not keeping soda in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what are we going to drink? We have to depend on water. So making it such where we make better choices, because we don't leave ourselves that option. I like to think of the alcoholic. I mean, if an alcoholic has a bar in the house and keeps saying, today I'm really not going to be drinking alcohol, I mean, how successful is he going to be? We say, no, don't keep it in the house. And he will not drink if he doesn't have access to alcohol. So I think that helps us make better choices overall. And honestly, I think we rebel. Diets are one of the most horrible concepts. We don't like diets. The minute we think of a diet, we start thinking about food. We go into, I mean, diets don't work. But healthy eating does. So even if I continue to, I don't recommend drastic change in eating, but if the only thing I did was, or an individual did, was eating whatever they normally ate, but maybe if the portion is too much, to cut down in half and have a big vegetable side dish, or stir fry, or vegetable soup, or salad with it, and going easy with the dressing. And I think that's half the problem solved right away. And in between meals, there's a high likelihood that the person will be hungry if they've eaten less portion. But that's when we can fall back on a fruit, an apple, a yogurt, something healthy. So that, because if our brain does not like deprivation. So the minute we go hungry, we say to heck with this diet and to heck with this dietitian, I'm done with this. And you know what, I'm going to take care of this diet tomorrow. Today, I'm just going to call in and place the order and eat. So the key that I find is not giving that opportunity for the mind to rebel like that and giving it a snack so that we get the, you know, we are, our blood sugars are okay, they haven't, we're not hungry, so that we can continue to make better choices.
Angel, I've always found that, you know, grazing on healthy things to keep myself from being hungry. I think hunger, as Aradhana mentioned, is the enemy.
It is. I think what she just said too, it's funny because in my journey, I had done so many diets that I just knew that I was going to give up. I don't want to even use the word fail. I just knew that I would not stay on course. So I actually decided to do exactly what you said. If it wasn't in the house, then I could not get myself to get in the car and grab the items. But it is portion control. It is learning to eat whatever I wanted to eat. I still continued to eat, but it was at a smaller setting. And I found myself not as hungry.
Yeah.
Now, the first couple of days, in the first couple of weeks, you know, in your mind will play tricks. It'll say, you need this, you need this, you need this. But I think it also plays hand in hand with, once you get on that new course and you start eating the same, you know, that pattern of a little bit less, a little bit there, that coincide with you start seeing yourself lose a little weight. Now you start saying, well, wait a minute, I haven't altered anything.
Yeah.
I'm still doing what I do,
yes,
but I am seeing results.
Yeah.
And that's what I think for me.
You know what I love about Aradhana also is that she not only explains concepts, she also teaches simultaneously.
Yes.
She comes up with strategies. So we already have the strategy of keep your environment at home pristine, and you mentioned something I want to hit back on, portion control and also keeping yourself not ravenously hungry, especially before you go to a restaurant or go to a food store. Can you hit those two things?
Dr. Inelli, this is wherein lies the problem. Theoretically, all of this sounds great, but now if I'm going from here, let's say I'm going to the grocery store, and I haven't eaten since the last 3 hours, and I get into that car, and I know it will take me in about an hour by the time I get home, and it's tempting to stop anywhere on the way to have something, and realistically speaking, how am I going to have something with me to eat? You know, how am I? So things that I find having something practically, you know, keeping maybe apples stay a long time if I try to keep, you know, another fruit. I can't keep a banana; it's going to go bad on me fast. But having apples that stay long, or keeping a shake, I found good success with some low carb shakes, such as, I don't want to use brand names, but may I
yes,
tell you the ones?
Okay.
I mean, Glucerna Hunger Smart, I found, is a good shake. I'm sure there are others by
and
even
it makes
Atkins
you, and
shake.
You go into the food store and you're not ravenous.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's the point.
Yeah.
So then, and then, you know, by that time, or had a fruit in the car, or carried a yogurt from the fridge, and or just ate before leaving from work. So something. It has to be preparing much in advance and thinking about it, because otherwise we caught off in a very unexpected situation and then we just pull in wherever the next place is and grab something, and then, you know, because
preparation, you know, we'll talk about portions in a second, but preparation again is something that she keeps on hitting on. So I know you're a vegetarian. I don't know if you're a vegan.
I'm not a vegan.
So vegans really are, that might be the perfect diet, because it's literally so healthy, as long as you get your protein in. I mean, we're talking about no animal fat at all, zero. But the problem is, to be a vegan is a commitment. I mean, you have to be prepared all the time. But let's not go to that drastic spot, right? We won't go to veganism. We'll just talk about any person who wants to be, you know, eat a little bit of red meat, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, an occasional dish of Chinese food or whatever. But I think it's really important that you're prepared, that you have your refrigerator ready to go. I think that we're so busy, Aradhana, in this world, in our life, especially in the Western culture in the United States, that it's so easy for young, like cancer survivors who might have little children, to stop at KFC, pick up a bucket of chicken. It's like an easy fix. Or go over to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal for your kid or whatever. But if that person already has in their house, you know, a big thing of beans, you know, that all they have to do is put a little dressing on it, a little oil, a little bit of lemon, or have a, you know, a nice piece of chicken to grill on the, you know, put on the grill with a salad prepared or some fresh tomatoes. That preparedness that you're talking about, that makes all the difference.
And also, I just want to clarify, not a big thing of beans, because that won't, because by the time it is all thawed, and it'll be a problem for the person to take care of, you know. What works best is, serving that is going to be used in one time, freezing it in those servings, so that they can just take it out and that'll be the meal. Or preparing vegetable soups in advance and putting them in little
single serve.
Yeah, or family size, whatever's going to be used by the family at one time.
Yes.
You know, that's what helps.
No, that's very amazing. I think a lot of getting to that point again, I think a lot of people don't understand exactly the concept of eating whole or whole foods as opposed to processed foods. Can you help us with that a little bit?
Definitely, Dr. Inelli. The AICR talks about, they're very, very not happy with the processed meat, especially,
yes.
And of course the red meats also. They recommend limiting those, but with the whole foods, we can, you know, the whole grains help, but the thing is, sometimes it has to be starting from where we are, and making changes that are livable. Unrealistic changes, anything like any crash, we crash into the diet and we crash out of the, you know, that. So that's why it's a yo-yo. So if I had to do something whole, what I would start with maybe one grain and make a grain, but make it into my salad, and then cut down on my other portions and supplement with that, and build in that way rather than trying to go whole completely. And radically changing diets, you know, doesn't leave us too much room for gratification, because food is not just, you know, calories. It's not. It has so much role to the psychological aspect. The, you know, what we ate as a child. The comfort factor. There are so many other things that we get out of food. The stress management. How many times we eat just because we're stressed out? So. Food serves so many other functions that we can't change. We can't expect to change completely, because then we set ourselves up for failure. But yes, we can start incorporating whole beans, whole grains, and keep them handy, and then start supplementing it or incorporating it into our regular diet right now, cutting down that gradually and incorporating those into the diet.
That's great advice. I wanted to also mention to you portions. We talked about that, whatever. I've heard nutritionists speak to me about the concept of a handful. Like a hand, you know, and again, my hands are small, but some people have bigger hands. Basically, whatever food you can put in a hand, maybe it's about 4 ounces, that's a good idea of what a portion is. There was a study done in Indiana, which was one of the big, you know, nutritional science universities. And they had all the college students come in, and they had this rig of a soup bowl. And all the students got a free meal, and they had this tomato soup. But what they didn't know was the tomato soup had a tube running up into it. So as they were eating, they were slowly refilling the tomato soup. So they were kind of counting how many calories that a person would eat. You know, depending, whatever, and they would leave, some of the students would leave having maybe eaten 6 or 7 bowlfuls, thinking they'd only eaten 1 bowlful, and they would say, how do you feel right now? And they would say, you know, I feel a little full. How many calories do you think you just ate? They'd say, 300, 340, and they ate about, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 calories. You know, so we don't really know what we're putting in our bodies, really. We're just eating, right? But portion control, being able to be aware of what you're eating. That's why I love restaurants, Angel, because when you go to a restaurant, when I was a kid, we had basically, I spent my entire life in an Italian immigrant family. And when food came, there was a big plate of food that was pretty much limitless, although obviously there's no such thing as a limitless, but enough food where you could eat a ton of food. Then I would spend my summers at my German aunt's house, and if there were four of us at dinner, there would be five pork chops. You would go to the store, buy five pork chops, everybody got a pork chop, and there was an extra pork chop for the husband if he wanted it, and if he didn't, the rest of the pack of dogs that we were around the table would fight for that last pork chop. So I think that's important, being able to recognize that the American concept, like everything is huge and big. Just got back from hiking in Scotland. They would pack pack lunch for us. It would be like a sandwich, an apple, and a small little piece of chocolate. That would be what you would get for the day.
Yeah.
In America, you would have Gatorades and Clif Bars and multiple peanut butter sandwiches. And to arrive at this point about the marathon, there's a group of people, they call themselves the Penguins, and they go and they do all these marathons and they start early or whatever. And we went there to do a marathon once to start early because I was slow, and we met all these people and they were eating bagels, and we said, well, what do you guys do? We go every week to a marathon. Really? And we travel the whole country doing marathons. And I go, really? Gosh, you guys must lose so much weight. They go, no, we gain weight. They gain weight running a marathon because they eat so much food, thinking that they're...
Yeah. Dr. Iannelli, may I add, I have found people, if a person can afford, and if they're not big into cooking, since you mentioned this dilemma with portion control, the new industry of foods of
prepared
foods, they are really helping people. I'm not personally familiar with any, but from what my interactions with other people, my colleagues and patients that have told me, such as Blue Apron, HelloFresh, that's one serving, it's controlled amount, it's well cooked, and they also cater to the dietary needs. So I think that's a great, and they're not ridiculously expensive. They're well within the, from what I gathered was around $8 to $11 for a meal, and one can easily eat more going to a, going outside.
How about these places like, the Blue Apron, excuse me, and things like that. I guess the concept is, a little bit of protein, a little bit of carb, a little bit of fat, and that's it. And who does that really well is Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Weight Watchers, historically, over the decades, have always tried to provide their clientele with a very balanced view and a very portion-based view, where you literally almost have a wallet full of points, and you have to pay points for your serving. So if you're going to eat a piece of pizza, you're going to be paying big time, whereas you can have two beautiful chicken breasts grilled with maybe a little dollop of barbecue sauce, and that might be worth one slice of pizza. So I think that's another concept too, to use all these to our advantage. Aradna, I wanted to leave the last word to you to fill in any other things that we may have passed over, while interviewing you that you want to mention.
Well, along with, since we are talking about post-treatment healthy nutrition, it's important to be wary of supplements. Sometimes we are told that such and such a supplement, helps in prevention of this, or do not take it unless it is approved by your physician, because we can't risk, at this point, we cannot risk any interactions. And the other thing is, during treatment, a lot of times my experience has been the oncologists and the radiation oncologists and the medical oncologists, they're really, the patients are spending most of the time with you at the time. But the thing is, sometimes they have diabetes or high cholesterol or kidney concerns, those have taken a back stage, because that the priority was taking care of the treatment and making sure the person was, well on the road to recovery. But following up the primary care is very important after this treatment is over, so that, all the other blood work is in line and they are, the blood sugar is well controlled, and because you know, the better the, we want to make sure all the labs are in order for optimal health.
That's a really amazing point. So we've been talking, everybody, about general nutrition and just strategies and concepts for you. But what Aradhana said is so important. You have to integrate your oncologist. I'll give you an example. So radiation oncology patients are told not to take mega doses of antioxidants because it may interfere with their radiation treatments or their chemotherapy treatments.
Yeah.
So excellent point. Well put. Anything else you want to cover for today?
No, I think I would encourage them to follow up with an RD, like I said earlier. You know, that'll probably be very helpful for them.
Thankfully, and you are our go-to, but many, many oncology clinics these days are multidisciplinary and do include nutrition, which is amazing.
Okay.
Now, I lied. I said I was going to give Aradhana the last word. But, Angel, you know you always get the last word.
No, everything was good. I think it was very helpful. I think a lot of people get more knowledge as we're doing this whole series of different types of ways that you can adjust your portion control, just adjust your way of life without doing it drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've touched base on a lot of things that I'm doing as far as, you know, I've been doing a lot of prep foods and keeping things in order so that way when I get home, I don't have to go crazy about, you know, what kind of food I'm going to cook because it's already made.
Yeah.
But I would like to just say that, you know, for someone to come onto the show like you have done to provide, you know, this nurturing concept and
good
this,
word.
Yeah, definitely. Nurturing concept to make anyone feel better and then to put it in a perspective and in a way where we can understand it and articulate it is so much helpful to people like myself because you are using it in a way where we can understand it. We don't have to dissect it. So you put this whole thing into play, and I think a lot of our listeners are really going to gain a lot of knowledge for that. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, pal.
And I also want to tell the Croc Nation, we will do a separate nutrition module.
Mm.
Again, this today's episode is really going to be in our exercise for survivorship, just to make sure you know that it's not going to be a uni-dimensional approach to fitness, that you have to think about nutrition. Pal's advice to check with your oncologist, check with the local nutritionist in your cancer center. Great advice. Portion control, but probably the best thing I think she said was situational preparedness, to make sure your home environment is pristine, that you're ready to go to the supermarket without being hungry, that when you come home, you don't have a big bag of sour cream and onion chips waiting for you, and to make sure that you have some stuff prepared for you. But we will be doing a separate module on specific nutrition. So Pal spends a lot of time with our head and neck patients whose entire concept and interface with food is completely, altered, you know, by their treatments. And then we're going to talk about other issues with patients with GI cancers and things like that. But in closing, my gratitudes, Angel, thank you for everything. Have faith, let it begin. Second best podcast ever. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you, Rod, for everything. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson. Thank you for your kindness and your support of our podcast. And of course, on behalf of the board of directors, on behalf of Angel Santana, apart from our new pal, we join in concert in telling you guys you're special, you're important, you're valid, you're legitimate. We think that you guys have been through a lot. These podcasts are meant to help you with your journey. We absolutely respect you. We respect your journey. We respect your hardships. And there's nothing we wouldn't do to help you. You think the word love is used and overused, but we really do love you. And if you ever need us, you know where to find us. Again, we end this podcast as we end every podcast. We're wishing you all a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.